Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Knockout Radio back in the Tampa Bay area, broadcasting live from Tour de Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. I don't know where to start, so I'm just going to start ripping you.
Me? Well, I just got here.
That's where I'm going to start. I hope in the future that I never complain to you about you and how you drive from Tampa to Orlando, or we might need to change that headset because it's driving me crazy.
the crickety. Yeah, let's change this thing out.
Because I have complained to you before. We've driven to Orlando. I'm going to run down the schedule of who, what, where, how, who we're going to have on, all that kind of stuff here in a minute. But I've complained to you before because you drive, honestly, like a dead person. You know, a lot of times you say, well, safe.
Yeah, drive safe. I got a pizza in the car. I got to make sure it gets there safe.
We drove to go to Disney once, and you drove in the breakdown lane.
There's kids over there being safe.
We just drove in the Firestone St. Pete Grand Prix, okay, in a media event. And I swear to God, if you believe in that, or the God that you do believe in.
The race gods.
I have never seen a slower 88-year-old gray-haired grandma, great-grandma. You were out there like it was a Sunday drive.
But I didn't have any back injuries from the crashes like you do. I'm safe and I'm able to work tonight.
Well, I'm able to work too.
We'll see about tomorrow.
I did have probably two wrecks in every lap. But it wasn't me.
You got ran off the road by another media conglomerate.
Many media.
She took you out, bro.
The mayor of St. Pete took me out. So I know that you didn't see it, mainly because you didn't care. But so as you're racing, okay, so this happened while I was racing, so right. You would have seen it. So we're all over there. We're all making fun of you and how slow you are. When I hear like four people say, I don't know who that is, but he's with Ric Flair.
I heard somebody say that.
And I'm like, that's my phone. So
it's because you have a screensaver with Ric Flair
exactly,
on it.
Exactly, or I wouldn't have known.
Or you wouldn't have got it back.
I didn't know, A, my phone did not fall out of my pocket. It slingshot. It was right by the start-finish line, and when I got taken out there and I slammed into the board, my phone flew out of my pocket.
Maybe that's what the cellular provider means by G4, like G network, G5.
Unbelievable.
But no, welcome race fans to St. Pete. Welcome to the St. Pete Grand Prix of the Firestone, the 15th annual. Today was media day.
Is this? It's got to be more than 15.
This is the 15th annual event.
Now, it could be, I could be wrong, I make stuff up. It could be the 15th year, maybe Firestone's involved. I'm telling you, we have a picture of my 32-year-old son with the character formerly known as Bruce Jenner.
Right.
And Sean is probably 4.
Yeah.
So that would make it 28 years ago. Now, it could have been
a different circuit, yeah. Maybe a different series of cars.
A different name, a different title, a different whatever. But I'm almost sure that the race has been more than 15 years.
But how exciting, though. The race weekend, like, in St. Petersburg, it is legendary.
I live towards the Largo area, okay. And I can hear the race cars during the week. And we'll start hearing them probably tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a great day. I had a lot of fun. I had a great time. We had the two-time champ, Sebastian Bourdais. He was out there.
You're so impressed that you can say his name.
I don't even know if that's pronounced correctly. But,
well, but it sounds close enough.
But he comes to Tour de Pizza because he thought it was French pizza.
And he does.
He's now a long-time customer.
All right, before we get to some of the shenanigans, and we're going to start a new game hopefully next week.
Ooh, I want to play.
Well, you are going to play.
Okay, good.
All right, and I'll explain it. So we need to come up with a name. Guess the name. That's going to be the name of the game. guess the name. Yep. and I'll explain the game in a second. Scheduled to come on momentarily from UFC Fight Night 146. And yes, we need to talk about a lot of things that happened over the week. A lot of things out in Vegas. I covered a lot of things. The USA team won the USA Sevens. We'll talk about the rugby. We'll talk about the NECAR that I went to. Literally standing on pit row as Denny Hamlin did his thing. But scheduled today, momentarily, UFC Fight Night 146. He is your main event of the prelims. He'll be on Anthony Rocco Martin, followed by Lewis Smolka, followed by your former champ, Junior Dos Santos, one of your fellow peeps.
Junior, you know, Brazilian.
Because you believe you're Brazilian.
I am a Brazilian at heart.
At least today. Rumble, Anthony Rumble Johnson will be on, and we're going to talk about his position at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. David McIntosh will be on. He does some of the marketing for Arcade 1-Up, which is these video things are unbelievable.
Yeah, we got to get the old school pole position. Now that I got my racing fever on. Yeah, let's fire it up.
So that's the schedule, you know, for today. Let's get right into what happened last week.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we'll talk about everything else. Great radio show. I want to thank all of our guests that came out. It was incredible. Let's start on Sunday. No, we'll start on Saturday. We'll get to that car in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's
start the race.
First thing, we'll talk about the race, but let's start with UFC Saturday night.
235. Jones versus Smith.
Where do you want to start? Controversy in the main event. Usman totally dominating. And as I tweeted out my scorecard, I said I gave one 10-8 round. And not the 10-8 round that was given by the other judges. I had a different 10-8. And I said, I'm scoring it this, but I'm sure the judges won't. I was shocked on any card that they scored it a 10-8 against the champion.
Right.
Just because. Sure. And I hate that. I hate that. And two of the three of the judges were my friends. So I'm glad that they did step up and do give the 1-10-8. Now, I didn't hear this because from where my seat was, but Sean said in the co-main event, when Usman had Woodley down, and some things were said back and forth, and somebody said to somebody, this is a fight, because they kept standing him up.
Right. I mean, I was going to say, Usman not only had to beat the champ, he had to beat the ref, too, because it was like 2-on-1. I mean, he had top position. He was still throwing strikes. He was still controlling. And they kept standing it up. And it gave Woodley a chance to, you know, connect with a shot. And I don't know. They didn't do that in the main event. And it didn't stand him up with Jones. Except there was controversy in all three of those fights.
There was. On all three
of them, you could go either way with it. You had the illegal knee strike for the main event, the main fight. Then you had the ref stopping in
standing
the
up.
Co-main event.
Right.
And then in the Lawler fight, you know, was he out? Was his hand, I mean, did he go limp for a split second when the ref grabbed his arm to check?
What I saw from the replay, from the TV screen, from whatever. Now, again, it doesn't matter what I saw.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you saw. It doesn't matter what anybody saw.
But the ref interpreted.
It's what Herb Dean said. Now, I saw on the Book of Face today something that Pat Miletich put up.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw this. And he kind of said something, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, screamed, he's out. And then as soon as they stopped, he goes, oh, no, he wasn't out. But when they showed it, they also showed Robbie going to Herb Dean. How many MMA fighters would have handled what Robbie Lawler handled, how he handled it? And you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is the perfect game pitcher in Detroit. If you remember when they called the guy safe, yet he was out by a mile.
Right, it ended the perfect game. He would have had a perfect game except for like the air.
And he handled that the same way. Robbie first, when it was, and everybody knows this already, when Herb stopped it, Robbie said, what the blank are you doing? And then the video that I watched, literally within a second and a half, he went back and said, hey, whatever, it happens.
Right.
Yeah. It happens.
Well, what are you going to do? You can't go back. You can't replay it.
But most people, most fighters, most humans, most robots would have lost their mind.
Well, Sam Alvey. I mean, the happiest guy in the UFC. I mean, the smiling Sam Alvey lost it in Australia. Like,
yep.
Just absolutely lost his mind.
So what I think I saw, now again, I didn't look at it very close. I didn't all this other kind of stuff. But when Robbie's hand goes limp or goes whatever, as soon as it hits the ground, I see him move his hand. I see him move it.
Okay.
Now, he also said that he gave the thumbs up, that Herb Dean said he didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't see the thumbs up. I think the way how fast it fell, I think the rate and speed at which his arm fell from the back of the of Asker's head to the mat was simulated being knocked out.
But Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes, all of them, it would fall twice. And then on the third time it would fall, you know, that's the thing.
Well, this ain't wrestling. This ain't wrestling, son. This ain't wrestling.
Do you think Robbie was out?
I think he was out for a split second.
I don't think he was.
I think he was out.
In my opinion, there's no way he was
out. And if you're going to protect the fighter and you don't know, you got to err on the side of caution.
With that comment, now there is no right, there is no wrong.
Right.
I mean, you know, he made a split decision. But if you're protecting the fighter, don't you protect Askren from the butt whooping that he took for 35 seconds?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he was still fighting.
He wasn't.
He was.
He was trying to cover up, and he was getting killed.
But he was still moving. He was still active. Robbie was not moving, and his arm fell and hit the mat.
Okay, we're going to talk more about where I just came from last Saturday. I am not in Wichita, but our first guest is. He is the main event of the prelims. Let's welcome Anthony Rocco Martin. Anthony, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
We appreciate your time. Before we get into your fight and into Wichita, Boston, one of my favorite cities. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Boston?
I hate Boston.
You hate it?
I don't live there anymore. So I haven't lived there for... Okay, but no, I honestly hated the traffic. It was absolutely horrendous.
I agree with that.
So I moved there only to train. So that was the problem. I didn't go there to sightsee or... But how I enjoy Boston. So I never enjoyed Boston in the aspect of being, just hanging out. I just went there to train, so it was tough. I was driving 3 hours a day every single day to train.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I was stationed up there. I love it. I met my wife there. So every time, you know, anybody who's ever lived there, is from there, is trained there, I always throw out, you know.
Oh, hello?
I'm telling you, you got to get your
I
your
did.
Internet. You
I
didn't. Anthony, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Sorry about that. So where are you now?
I live down in Coconut Creek in Florida, training at American Top Team.
Okay, and that's what I thought. Since I messed up the Boston thing, I wasn't going to say, because I did say you're in Florida
yeah,
now, right?
He did.
And luckily our internet went out. So is Florida better for you? That's where we're broadcasting from. That's where we live.
I absolutely love it, man. The weather's phenomenal, obviously. And the training facilities phenomenal. I'm driving now two minutes to training, so it's been a life changing for me.
You know, it's interesting that you said what you did about Boston, because normally, you know, when I have the athletes on, I talk about when you go to a fight. This case, it's Wichita last week in Vegas. It's a work trip, so you don't go out. You don't go and enjoy the city. I don't know if anybody's ever told me training wise that it's the same thing, but I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I take the sport a lot different than I feel like a lot of fighters do. So to me, this is like life or death. You know, I'm an all-in person. Every single fight I go into, I put so much pressure on myself to win and to not just win but dominate. So it's I put a lot of pressure on myself. So it's, like you said, it's just a straight business trip to me. And, you know, these are my goals, is to be world champion. So in order to do that, you know, I have to be – not only win, but I got to win in great fashion.
With you putting that much pressure on yourself, how much after the fight, win or lose, can you then let it go and then move towards, you know, the next training session and your next upcoming fight?
Yeah, I was actually just talking to my girlfriend about it, that it's very difficult for me to, after fights, to kind of enjoy the moment. Because, it's almost like just a relief, like, hey, you know, you got through this step, because I put so much pressure, you know, to win, not only win it, but dominate it, and then get closer to my dream of being a world champion. So I put this pressure where it's almost like you don't enjoy it, and then afterwards, you almost go through this mild depression because you don't really know exactly what's next. You don't know when your next fight's going to be, who you're fighting, and you focus so much on this one goal and this one task to get to, you know, these next steps, that it's almost, you know, you get a little depressed by just not having that goal set. So, I mean, it's tough for me to enjoy every moment, but the more that I'm fighting, you know, that I'm trying to, like, hey, you know, enjoy when I'm walking out, try to you know, look at the fans, you know, and kind of see everything and be more of aware of my surroundings. And really, you know, I've never came to the UFC to be like, hey, I'm a UFC fighter. I made it to the UFC. That was never one of my goals. My only goal is ever to be world champion. So I feel like anything outside of being world champion is going to be a letdown for me. So, you know, right now I'm trying as hard as I can to make my dreams come true.
Keeping in mind the difference, obviously, of the sports, MMA, I was going to bring up. So maybe baseball might have been a better sport because you can go the very next day. You can't have a fight the very next day.
Yeah, no, it's tough. You know, I came from playing football my whole life as well, and then all the other sports. And you know, there is no tomorrow if you don't succeed. On that fight day, you know, it's kind of you lose. You have months, mostly in the UFC. Once you lose in the UFC, you don't know when you're going to fight next. You could fight 8 months later. You could fight 1 month later, and then you're just sitting there trying to figure out, geez, what's next? Like, where do I go from here? And you know, what do I even have a job anymore? So it's kind of a lot different stressors that you have in the sport. But I love it, man. I truly do. I live for this, and I really think it's my time now to be make a really push for this for a title run.
How do you settle your nerves down, you know, Saturday morning, you know, with the amount of pressure that it sounds like you put yourself in, and then, you know, what happens after the fight? How do you relax enough, you know, to settle yourself down as you prepare 2, 4, 6 hours before the fight?
Yeah, for me, it's easy. It really is easy because, you know, like I said, I love competition, and I know how hard I work. You know, it's truly believing in your training and what you've done in training and your abilities that you know, hey, I did everything to prepare. There's nothing to be worried about because, I mean, obviously losing, you know, it's always scary and it's always, you know, crappy to lose. But I truly believe in my ability. That's the biggest way for me to be stress-free. You know, I go in healthy. I know I'm healthy. I know that the training, I put in a phenomenal training camp. And if I didn't do that, I'm not going to bullshit myself or anybody else. If I didn't train right, I'd be terrified the day of the fight. I see some guys, you know, they act like they're, you know, about the life and that they put all the work in. But I see them working like they didn't put the work in. There's no way you go on the fight night believing that, hey, I'm really ready. I did everything I could. And that's where I get my stress relief is that, hey, I know I put in the heck of a camp. I worked so hard. I did so much. And I know I did everything to my best of my ability. And if I do that, I believe that I can win every single fight. And that it relieves a lot of stress from her.
With all of that you're putting in training-wise for the fight, does that include also checking out the opponent, watching video? Is that something you do? Is that something your team does? Do you do it together, or do you just listen to what they tell you?
No, I look at film. My coaches look at film, and we kind of all just, you know, decide on what we think is the best game plan to move forward. And we all get on the same page. And so I also have my head coach, Brock Larson, from Minnesota. So I have him come down and look at film. So you get different perspectives on how everyone thinks that, you know, we should approach the fight. And really, you know, the longer that I've been fighting, now I've realized, hey, you know, they got a game plan for you. So you just go out there, fight your fight. They're gonna have to change their game because, you know, I'm a full mixed martial artist. You know, I have great striking, great grappling, and my game plan is kind of the same for every fight.
You need some space?
You know, strike with...
You can get extra points.
Yeah, we're listening.
Oh, okay. Some commercial was coming on. So it's kind of just a strike, and then if I'm winning striking, I just keep it standing. If I'm losing, I take it to the mat. So it's kind of just that easy.
What's the strangest thing that you've thought about in the middle of a fight?
The strangest thing that I've thought about in the middle of a fight?
The reason that I asked that kind of to give you the story, I was interviewing one of the fighters, I don't remember which one, and he said that he was fighting Dennis Siever, and obviously Dennis Siever from Germany, and his corner's talking in German, and he said for about 2 or 3 seconds, as he's listening to the German, he starts thinking of the movie, what's it called?
Inglourious Basterds.
Exactly. So, you know, which is kind of funny that you're in the middle of a fight, and for 3 seconds you drift. So I'm just kind of curious, has that ever happened to you?
No, nothing like that's ever happened. You know, what was it? My second UFC fight, I kind of ran into, I had major acid reflux that I didn't know kind of existed in at all, you know, and then I was wondering, like, if I couldn't breathe. So, I mean, nothing, I've never had anything coming to the brain where that was kind of funny or different. You know, I've had some crazy thoughts come to my brain, obviously fighting, where, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes I get like this huge adrenaline rush when I'm in there, where I feel like, I almost feel like I'm like in the Matrix, where I feel like I need to just slip punches and stuff with, like, I'm three times as fast as the other guy. So that's kind of the only thing that has been kind of different when I'm in there, where at some moments, I don't know, I feel like I have like this superhuman power, but that's, I've never had anything too crazy.
Saturday night in Wichita, what can we expect as you take on Sergio?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to be brutal. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be very aggressive. And I think that, you know, everyone's going to really see that I'm a world-class fighter and that I have the real makings of being a champion in the UFC.
Very good stuff. Thank you very much for your time. Before we let you go, we're going to put you on hold so that we can get all your information and send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Anthony. That's awesome. Anthony Rocco Martin. Main event, the prelims, Saturday night, ESPN Plus. Good stuff.
I love his attitude. I love it. I mean, he's got like the Yankees mentality. Right? Like, if it's not the World Series, it's a bust.
It's nothing else.
Right? Like, the Rays, these knuckleheads, make it to the World Series in 2008, and like a bunch of idiots, they feel like they actually won something, but they got swept by the Phillies, which will probably happen again this year because they're loading up.
Well, no. The Rays will not get swept by the Phillies this year or next year.
Why not?
Because the Rays won't be there.
No, that's true. But the Phillies will be.
The Phillies are loading up.
Who'd they get? Didn't they sign somebody this week?
Yeah, just some little guy.
What was his name?
Some guy from Vegas.
What was that guy's name?
Bryce
Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Coming on board as a this? Fanatic.
But isn't this depressing? His average, you know, $330 million.
Okay.
You know, we know that.
$330 million over 13 years.
And I'm not hating on the guy.
13 years.
I'm not hating because if he's making it, that means they're making it.
That's 1 year more than my contract with you.
He makes $44,000 per at-bat. The average income of a Philadelphia home is $42,000. Annual income, 42. Bryce Harper makes $44,000 per at-bat.
I hope he goes like Warwick Dunn on the thing and just buys homes for everybody.
Yeah, okay. That's a clown question, bro.
Why?
No, that was what he said.
like a McDonald question?
That was somebody asked him a question. He go, I think, bro. Yeah, I think he said, that's a clown question, bro. So.
All right.
Well, we both will see him tomorrow.
Yes.
He's not playing.
He's not playing. He'll be there.
From what I understand, his first time in the lineup will be Saturday.
I'll go get one of the race cars and we'll drive over to the field and make a day out of it.
Do a little loop-de-loo and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, pretty crazy, that kind of money, you know, at that age. Yeah, that's, I mean, the Yankees are loading up. I mean, it's crazy. Doesn't baseball need a salary cap, Randy?
Well, they do.
They have one?
Well, they have a salary cap, and then everything over that cap you have to pay.
Right.
You're fined.
Right.
But when you're a billionaire, when you own the New York Yankees, when you own the Boston Red Sox,
right?
How about as I started to say Boston, I thought of Celtics, I thought of Bruins. I couldn't think of the Red Sox for a second. So, what I do like is when they spend stupidly like this. Doesn't that mean that the ownership wants to win?
Well, yeah, of course.
Because
of course they want to win.
You make more money sometimes by not winning.
But it doesn't make the game more competitive because these smaller markets cannot compete. I mean, how are you going to compete when you're the Tampa Bay Rays? How are you going to compete?
They competed once.
Once.
And someday, they may compete again. All right, let's hit this bottom of the hour break because when we return, we will head back out to Wichita and speak to Louis Smolka, who also will be fighting Saturday night. Then coming up, Junior Dos Santos, Anthony Rumble Johnson, David McIntosh. We're going to talk some Arcade 1-Up. And then we're still going to go talk about Controversy 1, 2, and 3 from last Saturday. Coming to you live from Tour de Pizza, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all.
If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Disney on Ice presents Dare to Dream, where I can chase adventure like Maui and Moana.
Dream big with Rapunzel.
Anna proves family is forever.
And Belle shows us beauty is found within.
At Disney on Ice presents Dare to Dream.
Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and additional charges may apply. Coming to Amalie Arena March 21st through 24th.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a 3-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Party like a pirate at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open weekends February 16th through March 31st. Discount coupons available at Hungry Howie's Pizza. Discount tickets available at Circle K and BayAreaRenFest.com.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sebastian Bourdais, 2-time Firestone Grand Prix defending winner, driver of the Honda number 18 for Daikon Racing with Vassar and Sullivan, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tour de Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street. What special pizza are you going to make today?
The Kick Your Ass Sea Bass Pizza. It's a Sicilian sea bass fish.
Are you really going to make that?
I could. I mean, we could name it after Sebastian. The 2-time St. Pete Grand Prix champ winner.
All right. I have something I need to get off my chest, as well as we need to go back and talk controversy 1, controversy 2, controversy 3, and controversy 4.
There's too many controversies.
The fourth controversy is if you don't get that cable company out here to fix your cable.
Well, listen, anybody know anybody with Spectrum, have them give me a call. It's not my fault, not my internet.
Well, no, it's Spectrum, but you're paying for it.
I pay, but they suck.
All right, so do you want to talk about main event, co-main event, or Robbie Lawler?
Let's, wherever you want to start.
No,
start at the bottom. Start at the bottom.
Or do you want to talk about the new game we're going to start in the next week or two?
I like the new game, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, the new game is Name That Name.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to start getting liners.
Okay.
And all they're going to say is something like, "What's up, Randy?" "What's up, Knockout Radio?"
And we have to guess who the person is.
And you have to guess. You know, I love playing 20 questions.
Sure.
So hopefully by the time we get through this game in about a year or so, you'll get it down to understand how to play.
Oh, yeah. I'll give up by then.
Oh, I'm sure you will. You'll probably be fired by then.
Look, I'm getting liners all the time, man. That's what I do.
I know. You're getting liners.
I'm a liner guy.
I'm going to start getting just that line.
Right.
What's up, Randy? What's up, Randy Regime?
I like it.
What's up, Knockout Radio? And if you get... We're going to let our president and vice president, and that would be Eric and Shane. I know other people want to be on the board of directors.
They do.
But they are the leaders.
How many emails a week you get for that stuff?
Oh, quite a few.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You know, how do I move up? How do I? All right. So we're going to let the president and the vice president determine how many you need to get right.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to let them decide how many questions, because we don't want it to be too easy.
Yeah. Well, or drug out too long.
Right. Because I get bored listening to you. So, you know, we need to come up with a realistic number. And then once they come up with how many questions you can ask.
Okay.
And how many you need to get right over a length of period.
Got it.
Then I will throw you a bone, and we will run one. You still have to figure out who it is.
Okay.
But we will run one where they either mention your name, or as much as I don't want to do the naked thing, the naked pizza man, yeah. Something.
Naked pizza man is making a comeback.
It better not be.
He's coming back.
I showed you the picture of Potch.
Yeah.
Eric Estrada at that toy fair. Nobody.
It's sad.
$60.
It's tough.
It was like $40 for an autograph, $40 or $30 for a picture. Or you get them both for $60.
And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I've actually seen the original Ninja Turtles in the same situation.
But there was an incredible line for guys that draw cartoons that were there.
People YouTube that voice. Stars.
Well, I'm just saying that this one thing that I was at on whatever day I went, I don't even remember. Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I think it was Saturday. So, yeah.
It's the same thing with the bodybuilding world. I mean, the actual champions, the one that have the best physiques, they're not the stars. It's the internet, you know, idiots that are in the gym making videos and doing Snapchats. Like, they're the ones that get all the attention at the expo.
I went to the press conferences.
You did?
Robbie handled everything tremendously. Ben Askren said definitely not. He didn't want to fight Robbie to begin with.
Okay.
And he will not fight him again. Then Dana came in and said, no, that's the fight I want to make. Now, Ben continues to say he doesn't want that fight. He wants the winner of this weekend's over in Europe, Till Masvidal. What do you think? I'd like to see him, Robbie, again.
Yeah, Robbie handled his business, man. Like, he should have won that fight. I mean, he just didn't close it out. He got caught in a bulldog choke. I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody lose to a bulldog choke?
Cowboy Ron Bass in the NWA. Back in 1977, I think it was Cowboy Ron Bass against Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah,
didn't we just lose another?
Yeah, the King Kong. King Kong Bundy passed away this week.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
Want to get back?
61 years old.
Was that what it was?
I think so.
Awful. We'll float all over like that's typical of this show.
That's what we do.
I have a complaint.
Yes.
And I'm going to probably get beat up for it.
Do it.
And it'll probably be by your mentor.
No, not Terry.
It could be.
No.
Did you see who was going into the WWE Hall of Pretty Good?
No, I did not.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh, no, Brutus.
What? Now, I know that it's all a gimmick. I get all that. But if you're going to call something HOF, I mean, to me, it's got to be the elites of the elites.
You got to rise to the cream of the crop, brother.
Right. I know what I'm saying.
You gotta be a macho man or on their level.
Or thank God Ric Flair was on my phone, or I wouldn't have gotten my phone back.
That's true.
As it popped out of my pocket in that
call and thank him.
Probably I should. All right, so we're still gonna get to everything that happened Saturday.
Yep.
We'll get to the main event. We'll talk a little bit more about our member of the Randy Regime in Usman. But let's head back out to Wichita as we get ready for this Saturday. UFC Fight Night 146. Louis Smolta on the line. Louis, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Hey, tell us, how has your training changed pro since 2012, so just over 7 years of being a pro. How has it changed or has it not changed?
You mean overall?
Yeah, overall. From, you know, the first time, you know, in the gym, you know, now you're a veteran. Does it change?
The workload's gotten a lot bigger, man. Before, when I first got into this, it was kind of just like hit, mitt, grapple, and spar and fight, you know? And now there's all kinds of stuff that's been added. There's strength and conditioning, rehab, taking care of recovery. Now I have to do diets, all kinds of stuff's been added in, man. You know, it seems like people are just constantly looking for an edge, and, you know, anything that anyone figures out that they can do to add in to give themselves a little bit of an edge, everyone else seems to follow in suit, and it becomes the norm and something you just have to do.
So I'm throwing you something here, Matt. FCC, we're not allowed to cuss, but Lewis just did. He said that diet word.
Yeah, the four-letter word.
Yeah, that's a nasty word to me. What are some things that, you know, that you've had to cut out that, you know, you miss? Or, you know, when the fight's over and you're going to, you know, cheat the first time, what's that first or second thing, your go-to thing?
Man, I used to drink a lot, but, you know, I've had a big deal with that, and I've had to cut that out of my life completely. Nowadays, I'm starting to get a lot better, you know. My discipline before, I would just eat anything as soon as I weighed in, you know. Spaghetti or sushi, noodles, ramen, anything. But I'm starting to get a lot better with my diet and stuff. But one of my go-to is ice cream. I love ice cream.
There you go.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the ice cream.
But, can you watch?
Ice cream is delicious.
Can you watch fights as a fan, or as you're watching, are you always looking to improve, looking for, you know, things that you'll be able to implement into your arsenal?
I think I do both, you know. I like to watch fighting because I'm a fan, and, you know, anytime you see something that sticks out, you know, you try and learn it. You know, everyone's trying it the next day in the gym, you know, like with the Anderson Silva kick, you know. The spider kick, we all tried that the next day. Like when Dillashaw started switching stances, we all tried that, you know?
So you've run up the cage as well, like Pettis?
Yeah, of course, man. We all tried that the next day, of course. You know, everybody tried the Showtime kick the next day. Everybody, you know, like we're constantly evolving. We're just trying to all learn new tricks, you know?
Let me ask you this. I was in Vegas Saturday night, controversy main event, co-main event, and Robbie's fight. Do you guys think of that? You know, that, oh, I'm worried about, I have to, consider this and consider that, and not necessarily go, you know, more balls to the wall because you do that anyway, but is that kind of in your back of your mind that you got to try to keep the referee out of it, that you got to try to keep the judges out of it?
I always try to look for the finish because when I first started watching the sport, Dana was talking about how he likes finishes. And I wanted to do this. I wanted to be in the UFC. So I was like, all right, I got to finish guys, you know. And, you know, you try to keep guys out of it, keep the judges out of it. But when it comes down to it, you're just fighting, you know, and you got to kind of roll with the punches and make the best of it.
What were your thoughts on what happened Saturday night, you know, in all three of those fights?
I thought that the Herb Dean stoppage thing, I thought that was just, like, honestly a mistake. If you look back at the tape, you can kind of see Herb, like say sorry to Robbie after. He's like, man, you thought you were out. And Robbie's like, no, I wasn't out. He's like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. Like, you can kind of see him say it. So, like, I think he himself knows he kind of made a mistake, and it's going to happen. It sucks that it happened, but it's just one of those things. It's human error, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I think they should just no contest and run it back. That seems like the cleanest solution to me.
I agree with you. You know, and I think it's a fight that everybody, with the exception of Ben, you know, want to see. You know, we want to really see how would that have played out, and let's watch it again.
Ben doesn't want the hands anymore. He's like, no, dude, I got punched hard enough. I'm not trying to eat that again.
I'll tell you what, between what we saw the first 30 seconds and Robbie's look before the fight started, you know, I don't blame him for not wanting it. What can you tell us about your opponent?
My fight, we're basically the same thing. I'm half white, half Japanese. He's half white, half Korean, I think. So we're basically like the same thing. We're kind of like tall, lanky kids, and we kind of look the same. Pretty much it.
What can we expect in the fight? What are we looking for? What are we going to sit back and watch?
Well, I like to try to bring the action, you know. Out of all my wins, only two have gone the distance. I try to finish guys. That's what I'm about. I'm not sure what Matt's going to do, but you know, hopefully comes forward and we can have a war, you know, and we can go to war and see what happens, see who comes out with their hand raised.
What's the strangest thing, this has turned into one of my favorite questions, the strangest thing that you've ever kind of thought of, daydreamed for a second or two in the middle of a fight?
There was one time where I was fighting in Ireland, and Conor McGregor was kind of, I was fighting his teammate, and his teammate was on my back, and he was like grip fighting and stuff, and I can see Conor through the cage going, hit him in the body, like standing up, like doing the thing, like telling his dude to hit me in the body, and I'm just kind of, I kind of looked at him, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He was like making a spectacle of himself, you know, like standing up out in the crowd and stuff, and I was just like, what are you doing? And right when I thought that, his teammate Patty punched me in the face. I was like, "Oh man, I gotta focus on what I'm doing right now."
And get turned out right over it. What you know, 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours before a fight, or when you're in the back room getting ready and getting your hands wrapped, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking about the fight? Are you trying not to think about the fight so you can stay more relaxed? What type of fighter are you?
I freak out most of the time. I have pretty bad anxiety about it. Like, the whole time, I'm just, like, it's weird, but I find myself asking for more time a lot. It's like, I just wish I had more time to train, to prepare. Like, I find myself asking for more time. It's like a thing that just keeps going over and over in my head.
After your fight on Saturday night, obviously depending on, you know, how it goes and all that, will you watch the rest of the fights? You know, will you not try to get back to the hotel?
I'll try to. I mean, I'm trying to get some barbecue out here. I heard there's pretty good barbecue in Wichita, so I've been trying to figure out where I'm going to go. I'm trying to get my hands on some barbecue, and then after the fight, and then maybe head back or whatever. But I'm trying to get my hands on barbecue. That's like my go-to right now.
There you go. And out in Wichita, I'm sure that won't be difficult to... So we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. So our guys back at the board are going to take care of that. Thanks, Lewis.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys.
Lewis, getting ready to throw some hands Saturday night.
That's awesome.
Yep. I always get excited. You know, I go to the events on Saturday, and then I get home Monday or Tuesday, and, you know, we all kind of get tired, and, oh, my God, you know, another one is this weekend. And then, you know, we're lucky enough to have a lot of the fighters on again on Wednesday, and turns it all around, and I'm excited again.
I think Lewis has, you know, the right answer. I mean, that's the best answer I've heard. Everybody's looking for a competitive edge. So all of a sudden, after everybody starts doing it with success, then it becomes a standard and the norm. So the sport that we know now is nothing like it was when it first started. Yeah, you know, the original UFC.
Which was 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
How long ago was it?
25 years ago.
Was it? No.
We went to the anniversary this year.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, when was UFC 11? Google it.
Okay.
No, I'm curious, because that's the first one that I stepped foot in. You know, obviously I was covering it and reporting on it the first 10, but I don't remember when UFC 11 was.
UFC 11.
Augusta, Georgia. How about that?
My Siri picked up, I don't remember when UFC 11 was.
Is that really what it says?
Oh, it picked up your voice. UFC 11. September 20th, 1996 at Augusta Civic Center.
Yep. Mark Coleman. That was the tournament. Tournaments were fun to watch.
Yeah?
It truly, truly was.
Aren't they bringing that back?
Well, UFC's not.
Something's coming out with like a 16-fight tournament style.
Well, I want a 16-man fight.
Oh, it's Jitsu King. It's being held here in Tampa. Jits King, I think it is.
Don't know what that is.
It's going to be a 16-person round-robin tournament for Brazilian Jitsu.
So it's not a fight. So it's a BJJ event.
Yeah, it's a BJJ event.
Okay. Right. So, I mean, it's still a little different.
It is.
Not getting punched.
Kind of like the Karate Kid, you know, you go through the tournament, like the brackets. Oh, March Madness is here.
The All-Valley tournament? That was the All Valley.
Dude, March Madness is upon us.
I don't care. I don't care.
Blasphemy.
You care?
Yes.
Why do you care?
I'm from Indiana.
So what?
It's in my blood.
The Hoosiers are done.
Old Hickory is making a comeback.
Hickory's not going to come back and win.
Old Hickory's making a comeback.
I don't think so.
The underhand granny shot.
What was what was the star's name? What was the star's name?
I don't know. The old guy, like Gene Hackman.
He was the coach. Okay. I'm saying the guy who didn't want to start, then he came back. They're getting rid of Hackman because he's from Hickman, and he comes back and he goes, "I'm going to play." And he goes, "See, I told you." And he goes, "Coach stays, I play. Coach leaves, I leave." I think we should do a recount. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
That's one of the very few.
No, I haven't seen that movie in like 25 years.
Well, we've seen a couple. So, so Brutus the Barber Beefcake going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I'm glad it's this year, not next year.
Okay.
Because when I go to the Hall of Fame, I really don't want to see that. I just...
Yeah, he's training out at the gym with Bushwhacker Luke and Terry and those guys.
Like, see, I was told he's not here.
No, he's here. He's training. He's been Hawksman, like, helping him. He's not real consistent with it, but he's pretty big.
I mean, I feel bad about the accident.
He's a big boy now,
All that kind of stuff. But that shouldn't put you in the Hall of Fame.
He needs DDP's help. He needs he needs yoga. He needs like some help.
Paige isn't hard to find. All he's got to do is reach out to him.
No, but there's an ego involved, I think, with that. You know, these guys were all like legitimate, had their own star, their own ego, their own.
He hasn't been a star for 30-some years.
Yeah, we know that. But in the mind, I don't think you change. I think in your mind, you still think you're still the same guy, right?
But if you need the help, reach out to somebody that's more than willing to help you. Paige has brought me to his studio.
I know.
You don't think that he would bring one of his brothers?
Yeah. No, he would, for sure, because he did the same thing for Jake the Snake Roberts. He dug him out of his funk and got him clean.
So he's in a funk?
He was. Wow. Jake the Snake was in a bad place.
No, I know Jake was.
So, DDP saved his life.
I know that. We're talking about...
Yeah, Brutus is just huge.
The
man.
Cake.
He's big. He's big. He needs help, He's got to get it together. Wow. Does the Hall of Fame have a weight limit?
No. Because okay. King Kong Bundy will be in it.
He will. 455 pounds.
Mean, lean, sex appeal, whatever.
Those are some big boys.
How about Ric Flair got jumped last week?
I know.
See that?
By Triple H?
No, by Dave Bautista.
Same thing.
No, Triple H came to his defense. That's okay. The rumor is that Bautista will wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania.
Okay.
You got to keep the COO and son-in-law of the owner, happy.
Okay. Right. I guess. I don't really watch wrestling.
Tony Dungy was named the Grand Marshal of the Firestone Grand Prix.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he's Tony Dungy.
Why?
All right. Let's go back, since we haven't talked about it yet.
Okay.
Controversy number one.
Black History Month.
Okay. Controversy number two.
Why do they always call him first African-American, coach to win a Super Bowl? Why can't he just be Tony Dungy? Like, great, like, mastermind of the game of football, champion. Why do they have to always use race to, like, announce him?
Why are you trying to make this my last show?
I'm not. I'm just asking a question.
You're trying to rile me up.
No, but why?
I don't know. I don't know. Give me your opinion on Anthony Smith not taking the DQ and becoming the UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
I think it was cool. I think it's old school principle of he didn't earn it. He wasn't going to just let it be given to him. I like it. I like it. He didn't earn it. He knew he wasn't close in the fight. It wasn't even a close fight.
What if it was a close fight?
I think if it was a close fight, I think that might have changed his decision. I think if he thought he was winning on the scorecards or if he thought he had some dominant rounds, but Jones just was...
What if it would have happened in round...
One?
No, not round one, because then it wouldn't have been a DQ. It would have been a no contest. What if it would have been round three?
It didn't matter in this fight because he didn't control any fight.
I understand that.
But if he had two great rounds and then... The third round he's losing, and then Jones throws an illegal knee. I think he takes that championship.
See, then I'm thinking that maybe they don't because I'm up 2-1.
I think it changes that. I think he just knew he was manhandled. I think he knew he was a second behind in every strike. He was on the defensive. He had nothing. He had nothing for Jones. And I hate to say this, and I hate to say it publicly, and I hate to say it on record. But yes, Randy Harris, I'm going to agree that John Jones is the GOAT, the all-time GOAT. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to believe in it. But man, the way he just dominated, and it just keeps getting better. You know, I just how do you not call him the greatest of all time?
First and foremost, I agree. I mean, I agree.
And you've been saying it for years. I mean, you've always said, yeah, and you know the inside of this thing more than anybody. So,
but do you take away the fact that Anthony Smith had nothing there, yet it went five rounds? I mean, does he fight down? Well, no,
he's
or
a
fight
lion. Up? He's a lion heart. I mean, he's, you know, he has the heart of a warrior, man, a champion. He's never going to quit.
I didn't say he's going to quit.
But you know, like just because the guy's going to take a beating for 25 minutes doesn't mean that Jones didn't put it on him. You know, I think he's still the greatest of all time.
Oh no, I'm not arguing that. I mean, welcome to the bandwagon.
No, I just hate saying that you're right.
And I'm not a fan. Believe me. I'm not a fan.
But I think he's maturing, and I liked his post-conference interview, and I like the fact that he's very respectful and appreciative. And
I'm not giving him a pass.
I think it's good, though. I think it's good
He was respectful because Anthony Smith was respectful. Now, in his next fighter, his fight after, if he fights Brock Lesnar, if he fights Cormier, you know, will he still be respectful then?
Well, I liked after the fight, he said he has a great woman in his corner and he's got a great team of men behind him, mighty men, I think he called them. You know, and I think everybody needs a corner. I think everybody in life needs a group of people behind them to support them and to get them to the next level. And I thought it was cool that he was polite and respectful. And I thought it was awesome.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I do need to mention real quickly, Scott Peterson and I went to Saki Rock, which is a sushi restaurant right next to T-Mobile.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
How often do I say something's good?
Not often.
Not often. What do I normally say?
You're disappointed, underwhelmed.
It's all right.
Meh.
It's all right.
Meh.
Right? I would go to this place every time I go to Las Vegas.
Really? Sushi?
It was incredible.
I didn't even know you like sushi.
Oh, I like sushi.
Really?
I haven't been eating a lot of rice and sushi because of keto, but unbelievable.
Wow.
Not totally expensive, upscale.
Okay.
And not your all-you-can-eat buffet.
Sure.
Kind of in the middle.
Okay.
We had this hot stone came out, and we put the little slithers of beef on it and cooked it up. Unbelievable.
Awesome.
We had this shrimp. Teriyaki's on.
Well, now that I know you like sushi, I got a place for you.
I'm always listening.
I'm taking you.
Okay.
We're going to go.
When are we going? I can't go today. I have some really bad stuff to go take care of.
Yeah, true. Are we going to talk about the Randy Rub? You want to talk about it?
It didn't do very well.
The Randy Rub got a championship.
Yeah, no, we did. We went 3-2. So as a gambler... Sure. The Randy Rub, of the five athletes that came on the show, we went 3-2. But seeing Usman with the belt.
How proud are you? How proud are you? How cool is that?
Here's the thing. I'm not proud. I'm happy for him.
Right.
I'm proud of him.
Sure.
We've talked a couple times since. And for the local Tampa Bay area, Caleb Beninat is going to be getting involved with Usman in some of the things that he wants to do in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
You know, for some of the villages and get some running water and get some stuff. And not only is Caleb going to Nigeria, but I'm getting my passport.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Take me. I want to go.
We can't.
When are you going?
I'm going tonight.
I'll meet you at the airport.
Yeah, I figured you would. but I'm very happy for him. He handled everything. And I don't know if you saw when Big Mouth Covington did his thing at the open workout.
Yeah, he called him out. He was like, the real champ is here.
But did you watch it?
I watched it. You were doing the live stream.
Right in front of him.
Right in front.
You know, that's where I was. He came up, and then, you know, I hear all this commotion, and I'm watching, and then I had to turn around. All right, we're at the top of the hour, I guess.
Already?
So 1 hour down, the former champ, Junior Dos Santos, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff.
Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a three-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.